The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
Are you ready? It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 502 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week is a special episode with the return of Travis Gibb from Broke Down and Four Dead Bodies, Cthulhu Invades Oz, and a new book which is now on Kickstarter called Expired. Expired is described as a sci-fi fantasy action comic. On a planet that's over 90% water, oxygen is limited, a band of heroes fights for the right to breathe before they take in their last breath. The good news is that even as we recorded it, he's met his goal of $2,800 and is now in stretch goals. So if you go to Kickstarter, be sure to look for it and support it right now. It concludes on Tuesday, September 28 at 9:42 a.m., which you'll hear me say several times because we want to make sure that you get a chance to support this wonderful project. We talk about how he put Expired together, as well as other projects he's working on, so I'm sure you're going to really enjoy what he has to say. I continue to work on resolving my voice problems, but don't let that distract you from the great things that Travis has to say. There's a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get on with the show. It's great to welcome back to the podcast Travis Gibb, the creator of many good things, let's see, including, I think it was the last one, I think, was Cthulhu, which I think I finally learned how to pronounce, Invades Oz. Then you had Broken Down, I never can remember the title of it. What's that, Travis? Broken Down?
It's Broke Down and Four Dead Bodies.
I never can remember that. I don't know why. But anyway, it's still a good book, so don't worry about that. So you've got, right now, you've got a Kickstarter going on until Tuesday, September 28 at 9:42 a.m. for a book called Expired, and it's a sci-fi fantasy action comic. How you doing, by the way? Let's get to that first, Travis.
I am doing great, man. Like, it's so crazy, you know, because you were I think you interviewed me right after Broke Down number 2. And it's crazy to think that I finished all of Broke Down. You know, I've got two issues into Voodoo Nation. Yeah. Cthulhu Invades Oz, which was a big graphic novel with 162 pages with 50-something creators.
Yeah.
And I have a new number 1 coming out. It's just crazy. It's like it's a profession.
See, the thing what gets me is that was a massive project that Cthulhu one was. I mean, you did, like you said, 50 creators. You were juggling all this and getting it all together. And it's done now, right?
Yeah, it's completely done. It's out. You can get it on Indiegogo, or if you see me at a con, you can get it. Or any of the creators, a lot of them have comps that you can get one for. Yeah, it's done, but we are wrapping up right now Cthulhu Invades Wonderland, the sequel.
Oh, okay. So that'll be something coming up next. Now, you mentioned something we should probably get to right away. Well, first of all, let me do this in sequence. This is, I mentioned it's going to be Tuesday, September 28, 9:42 a.m. for expired. But also, the day this posts, on Sunday, you are going to be at the Daytona Beach Comic Con. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I love the Daytona Beach Comic Con. It's never, I wouldn't say like for indie comics, it's like the greatest, except for like the creators that are there. Like last year, there was Scout, all the Silver Line crew, Aftershock was there. You know, I'm always there. You've got John Crother. You've got tons of indie people there. It's one of my favorite shows to go to. Tom puts on an amazing, amazing show. Speaking of the Cthulhu Invades Wonderland, I actually have an exclusive preview of it for that show. It's a 20-page preview for people while you're waiting for the big book.
Mm. Very cool. Very cool. Because it's just, it's great fun to do. I read the book. It's really interesting how different it is from chapter to chapter or part to part. And it's really well done. I mean, that's a massive project, though, to get that many pages, that many creators. It's like herding cats. You know, you did a good job with that. I think you really made it come together and it really shined.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, one of my big things and one of my big focus of that book was to not only tell a story, but not to make an anthology, but make it cohesive. Like there was a beginning, middle, and end. And that was really hard to do when you're taking an anthology style and get it. But I think we did a great job, and I can't wait for the next one.
Okay. While we're talking about that, do you know when the Kickstarter for that's going to happen?
Yeah, well, we're going to finish the book in November. So instead of hitting everyone up for Christmas, because, you know, if you see it around November, December, you're going to want that book for Christmas. You just are. Like, even if I don't promise you it for Christmas. That happened last time. So we're going to probably wait till January, make sure that we get it. But that's when we're sending a lot of previews out and doing a lot of things to focus on it.
So as you can tell, Travis here has got a lot of irons in the fire right now.
Right.
All these different things going on. Let's get back to the one that's going on currently, expired. Let me read from the Kickstarter a little bit. It says, on a planet that is 90% water, and we're like 70% on Earth, and it says, oxygen is limited. A band of heroes fight for the right to breathe before they take their last breath. And there's a list of who the characters are, which I kind of like. There's join Christoph and his friends Braticus, I think, Dusk and Sahara. How's that pronounced?
Braticus. You said Braticus. Right.
Okay. So is it Sahara or Sahara?
Sahara.
Sahara, like the desert. On an incredible journey as they explore Vanda, the world. Try to unlock the secrets of the world and its creation. Adventures, mystery, and nonstop action follow as we discover the vast and epic lands of Expired. And this is a 4-issue miniseries, right?
Yeah, it's going to be 4. It may end up being 5, so we're not going to put a number on it, but the minimum would be is 4.
Okay, so that's good. I like the name Expired. That's a good name. That it's an action word. Something bad's happening, so we got to be care of that. Now, talk a little bit about the world of Expired, because it's the way that it also describes a little elsewhere on the page, that there are people who like an elite group that controls who gets how much oxygen for how long. How's that got set up? How's that happen?
Yeah, so the world has a vast history. We talk about it in the first issue. You know, so gods came and created this earth, and you know, basically, like any civilization, people fought and they build empires and stuff like that. So there's a ruling class, and that ruling class dictates how much oxygen you get based off of the island you were born in, based off of who was your parents, what kind of money, what kind of income they brought in. So there's a ruling class on that. It's run by the island that we see in the first issue is called the Political Island, where all the politics happen. So it's kind of like the United Nations. So all the other islands kind of meet on it to discuss and deal with issues. This group, we kind of hint at it in the first issue, but they're coming off a small civil war. So they're kind of, tensions are high.
Now, as I did a picture on the page that shows the four characters, and maybe we can talk about which ones are who is what. And that, let's see, the Christoph, he's the white-haired fella, right?
Yeah, Christoph is the white-haired fella. So he is a retired war general. So he just ended the war. you know, it's on the preview page. His oxygen just ran out, so he's down to his last 12 days of oxygen. And, you know, he has a plan to try to extend his life. So he's gathered up his friends to try to do that. But he's an all-war general with Bradicus. Him and Bradicus were both in the war together. They both had different jobs. He was kind of a spy, or Bradicus was a sniper.
Now, Bradicus is the big, tall guy with the tattoos?
No, Bradicus is the younger gentleman with the fuzzy hair.
Red hair?
Yeah, he's got the red hair.
Okay. So then let's see. And we've got Dusk is the big tall guy then?
Dusk is a big guy. So that's that's a particular race. So they don't fall under the oxygen. They don't breathe oxygen. Mm. So they are a race. So that is actually his skin tone is the orange stuff. It's actually what their race looks like. They are he happens to be more intelligent than the majority of them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's a big brute force, and they tend to be used as security. So people who are higher class will hire these guys as security or mercenaries. They're kind of big warriors. Mm-hmm. They're all male. There's no female in their stuff. They hint that they may be genetically made, but there's no proof of that. We kind of delve into that a little bit. Mm-hmm. And Sahara, you know, is a warrior who's been out of the game for a long time. She just wants to have a good life. She runs a small little bar in the political islands. And, you know, she's an ex-lover of Kristoff, who kind of comes in and kind of messes up the world like ex-boyfriends do when they come into town.
Oh, boy. Okay. We won't go anywhere near that. That's a whole loaded subject right there. Now, this is 24 pages.
Yep.
Standard comic size, it says, on high quality gloss paper. Okay, this is number one. Now, broke down. It took a little while between the issues and stuff like that, because, you know, indie comics, they're ready when they're ready and when you can afford to pay for it. And so how's this, is it going to work something the same way when the Kickstarter happens and you've got the money, you're going to do the rest of the issues, or how's that going
to
work?
So it's hard to say. So this one, Wayne, is a little different. This is not 100% Travis original property.
Mm.
So the guy who created the book, his name is Brent Himanger is how you say his last name.
Oh.
And so what he did is he created the universe. You know, he kind of sat with me and said, hey, I want to make a comic book. Here's the universe. He didn't create any of the characters. He just was like, here's the universe. Here's kind of what I like. You know, I expanded on that, added to it. I wrote the script. And as we started going through this, you know, a lot of people want to make a comic, but they don't really know how. So he could pay for it and he could invest in it, but he didn't really know how to make. So I scripted it. I hired the artist, had the colorist letter, hired the team, put it under my label Orange Cone. But he is the money guy behind it. So he's funding it. So I do know that his plan on anything from this goes into the next book. So anything that's above us will go in the next book. But I don't know, you know, as these things, these expenses creep up with comics, you know, right now we're almost at $1 a bag and board these days because of, you know, shortages. So things are a little crazy, but I would expect that he's committed to telling the story and finishing it. He's been super ecstatic about the process of this Kickstarter. So I assume it'll be right on track. But unlike a broke down, this issue 2 isn't even written yet because he hasn't hired me to do that yet.
Oh, okay. Okay, so that makes that a whole different process.
Yeah, but it's a fun process.
Okay. I mean, what's that like for you, though? Because you used to doing your own your properties, right? This is a different situation. Talk about what that's like to go someplace else and do something like this.
Yeah, it's a little tough, man. It's a good learning experience, right? Because that's my goal, is to work for other people. But it's a little different when I'm kind of managing the project. So it feels like it's my own project, but at the end of the day, it never is, right? I'm always asking, hey, we need to pay this guy, or hey, we got to do this. Hey, can I buy this? So it's like having an extra, you know, wife or parent where you have to ask some things for. But at the same time, creative freedom, like he really trusts me. You know, he asks a lot of questions where he'll be like, hey, can you tell me, you know, why this happened? Or, you know, hey, I really wanted this part of the plot. It never gets brought up in issue 1. And I'm like, well, we're giving them a lot of information in issue 1. We need stuff for issue 2, you know, kind of explaining the storytelling process to someone as he learns. But the other cool thing is, that's a little different, is the Ryan Brown cover. So the cover, the cover C in this campaign randomly just came to me one day, right? He was like, hey, I hired this really good artist and he did this cover. I want to use it. And I was like, oh, that's cool. That doesn't happen, right? Normally I'm hunting the guys down, interviewing it, asking for money. But, you know, this a random cover showed up, which I like that a lot. That was fun.
So it's a whole different thing, but that's good for you though, because you get to stretch different muscles this time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, it's been a good experience. He's great to work for. He loves the project. He's very proud of it. And, you know, as he said in interviews and stuff that he's been doing, you know, I did the heavy lifting, and it's good to get the acknowledgement for that, because I've seen partnerships where it's not like that, right? Where they, the partner says, you know, it's all them. It's where, you know, he appreciates and knows what I bring to the table, which is great.
Is this kind of something that you might consider doing more in the future? I mean, after the series is over, do you guys want to get together and continue to do more, or are you going to kind of take it, play it by ear?
So I'm going to play it by ear, but I think if this goes well, which it seems like it is, if everything goes well, I think my production company, I think we may produce somebody else's comic. I'm getting pretty good at it. I'm about to go to the next phase of my career. You know, I'm starting to get some publishing conversations right now. You know, I've got a couple of deals on the table. I can't say with who or what, but I've got some deals coming on the table. So I think I'm going to be transitioning to where I'm still going to do Kickstarter, because Kickstarter is an amazing platform with amazing writers, amazing creators. But I think I'm going to do, you know, half that and half the diamond, you know, the regular traditional publishing route. So that'll free up more for Orange Cone, because even though it's just like a Marvel in DC on Kickstarter, you just don't realize it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's production levels, right? I've got to get this issue out before I launch the next Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. You know, so I've got to do it. So if I cleared some of my stuff, I may have time to help a young incoming creator get to that next level where I started out and give them a leg up.
Okay, that's really good. So you're becoming another Stan Lee of sorts.
Yeah, I could see that. You know, just helping people do it. You know, I've done it a little bit. I've been published in, probably since last time we talked, probably 6 or 7 other books, a lot of them series where I've written 4-issue backups and things like that, and they've used my name to help get them a few more backers. And I think that's really cool that I'm at a point where I can give back to the community, right?
Because one of the things I've noticed on Facebook, you talk about how you like to make other creators' dreams come true. And I think that the way you're doing that is really, really helpful for that.
Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, tonight, you know, this is being recorded on a Wednesday. I am literally, even though it's my Kickstarter time, I'm going to be doing a creator hangout, like, live from 9:30. And I didn't just pick, you know, at this point in my career, I have people who've gone on to Marvel and DC. Richard Duax just went off to Marvel. You know, I could be interviewing him or hang out with David Byrne. His last issue of State came out. But instead of doing that, you know, I kind of mix all my friends together, and I don't pick and choose and just say, come on, let's all talk and put everybody to the table and hopefully help get someone, you know, a leg up as they move forward.
It's kind of interesting. See, the interesting thing is that you're working it, because most creators are doing what you're doing. They go to, say, DC or Marvel, and they have to play in somebody else's sandbox. And that's what you're doing. So in a way, this is kind of preparing you for bigger sandboxes, as it were.
Absolutely. That's exactly the way I see it. You know, I want to play in other people's sandbox, and I'm starting to learn what that is, right? You know, some people are like, hey, Travis, it's good as a good. Some people, you know, we agree on stuff, and then I see the print thing and it's not exactly what I wrote, and that's okay. You know, it's their book, you know, and trying to figure out what that balance is, what to be mad about and what not to be mad about, and what helps your career and what doesn't. You know, all those things are questions that need to be answered.
So it's a learning experience. That's good. But like I said, it's getting you ready for bigger ponds and bigger experiences. So that's good. This is a good way to start.
Yeah.
Really good. So what about your own materials, though? I mean, you know, expired, is like we said, is somebody else's sandbox. Are you going to go back to Broke Down, the Broke Down universe, and try and do some more with that?
Yeah, Wayne. So what I've been doing with Broke Down is we're starting to work on the trade. So I've got, you know, 4 of the creators and some big people, Jonathan Hendricks over at Scout from Recount. Chuck Pino, who's great in the indie circuit. Danny Smith, who did Worms May Crawl, which is a successful Kickstarter. Just a couple of people who I put together, and we're doing 20 pages for the trade paperback I broke down. Buddha Nation 3 has started production, so we're working on that to try to get that out early next year. Cthulhu Invades Wonderland is obviously in production. And then I have a book that I'm trying not to put on Kickstarter. It may end up on Kickstarter, but it's called Granite State Punk. And it's the most money I've ever spent on a book, Wayne. You know, I'm spending a ton of money on this book to get top tier art. I'm super excited about it. I've got a really good story that I feel really good about. So that's the other thing that I'm working on and trying to move forward.
Wow. Okay. I should ask more questions about that, but I don't want to spoil stuff. So we probably better, this may be a good time to interject. If we want to follow you on social media and stuff like that, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah. Everything's under my name, so it's Travis Gibb. So you just search for me. I do have a weird Twitter handle and a Facebook handle. Instagram. And that is Jester Lou, JesterLou.
Okay.
I will explain that one day. We're just not there yet.
Okay. All right. So how do you find these people to work with and stuff like that? Are they people you come across online? Are they people you work with? How do you find these other people?
That's a great question. So what I do is I help people. I chat with a lot of people and about what they're doing and try to really, you know, help them do their things. When I do like Cthulhu Invades Wonderland, it's really people I find talented. So I ask people and, you know, people say yes. Like I remember when I asked Richard Rivera, like I expected him to say no, because Sabaody Bunny was such a big influence for me, you know, asking him to work on my book. And he's like, yeah, no problem. You know, and David Byrne, him and I have been friends for a while, and, you know, and then building someone. When I had Jonathan Hendrix doing Cthulhu Invades Wonderland, no one knew, no one knew that Recount was going to be a hit. No one had any idea. And I just saw potential in him, so I asked him. So it's just building relationships and maintaining relationships. And then in Wonderland, we've really upped that. I've really asked a lot of artists, you know. One of the things that I liked about Cthulhu Invades Oz, it was great, but it didn't have a lot of hot up-and-coming indie artists. So it had great artists, but I thought there wasn't a lot of names, so I added a lot of names. So I got Stan Yak in this one. We've got Carl Moline, if you know Carl Moline, doing some stuff. We've got Rich Woodall, like a whole bunch of really cool people doing some stuff.
Really great. Now, as I said, you're going to be at Daytona Beach when this is posting. Are there other conventions that you're going to be doing as well?
I think that's it for the year. I think I'm retiring for the year. I may do one or two small little things, but I think I'm retired for the year. There's not a lot more coming in Florida that I can think of. I know there's New York Comic Con and all these big ones coming up, but I think Daytona's the last for me for the year. I do have some store signings coming up after that, but as full on cons, I think I'm going to wait till things calm down. It's been COVID's been hitting us really hard. As you know, Luke Stone, I think you know, anyways, Luke Stone, the artist of Voodoo Nations, is on a ventilator right now. So that's been really, really tough on us, you know, trying to get that deal with and praying for him. And one of my guys who I work for, Michael Watson, he also is in the hospital in the ER. So these things have been really tough on us. So we just want to take it easy, be protected, be safe for our families. We have a very sensitive niece who, if she got COVID, it would be very, very bad. So we try to be protective.
Are you vaccinated, your family?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Me and my family are all vaccinated, but you can still send it to somebody, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So you can be a carrier. This is a bad thing. So, because I'm vaccinated as well. In fact, next week I'm going to get my booster shot.
Oh wow, you're at the age. You're such a young guy, Wayne. How are you eligible?
Yeah. I'm actually 66, so I'm actually a little older. I got my first vaccination back in February, I think it was, and the second one came in early March. So the doctor's office called me and asked me if I wanted to get. And I've also got Pfizer, which is I thought was the cream of the crop. And now I'm understanding it's Moderna that's actually the better one of the bunch. So I've got there. I'm getting in there sooner. Richard Rivera, you mentioned, he's got Moderna, and so they're not in a big rush to give him the booster. But I'm getting one, so I guess that's the thing. I thought I was so happy I got Pfizer. I said I got the good one. I got the good one. Now, no,
right.
So I'm going to work on that. But yeah, as far as like other conventions and stuff, it's an interesting thing because, I'm curious what you think about having conventions in the current climate. Do you think that's a wise thing for people to do?
I don't know. It's really tough. So like I went to Pensacon, mm-hmm. had a great time, had a great show, made a ton of money, had a great lot of fans. But then I did MegaCon and you could feel like the energy in the room was a little hesitant, right? Everyone was a little nervous, a little stuff. And maybe that's just because of the nature of the bigger cons and the cancellations. And I've seen that a lot on the bigger cons tend to be more trouble. So I think medium to small cons are where it's at right now because you can get a little bit more intimate and people are a little bit more laxed. And, you know, if I drop from the con because I don't feel good, it's not going to be that big of a deal, right? Nobody's going to make a big deal about it versus – you know, losing William Shatner or something like that.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess on that level, yeah. But as far as – see, the thing is interesting, you mentioned about signings and stuff like that. Do you think that's a wiser move to do, like, store signings?
Yeah, I think store signings are a little bit easier. I think they're really good. I've had great experiences with all of the store signings that I've done because people want the entertainment. They want to meet you. They want to meet the creators. And it's a good, nice, safe environment because if they feel there's too many people, they can kind of leave and it didn't cost them anything to get there, right? They just got to go to their local LCS and call it a day.
Right, right. Because we've done, you know, I go with Richard Rivera to these things and we've done some local like signings and stuff like that. And we did one really early in the process and we were a little nervous about it. You know, weren't sure what was going to happen. Well, we had a lot of people because people were just dying to get out of the house. They wanted to come and talk with us. And like with you, I'm sure it's the same thing. They want to pick your brain a little. They want to talk with you about what you're up to and what kinds of things you would advise them to do it, so what they're up to. And I think that's a great thing. One of the things I like about store signings is the fact that it is something that you might bump into these people again. So it's not just it's not just I'll see you maybe a couple years from now. It's something that you can actually interact with people, and maybe some Wednesday or some weekend you go back there, pick up your comics, and there's that person, you can talk with them a little more. So I think I like that a lot better than going to the bigger cons. I think that's a lot more, I think people really enjoy that more.
Yeah, I think people enjoy it more. And I also think the other big thing about it that I think people underestimate, if you come up to me and want to ask me craft stuff mm-hmm. at MegaCon, you have to understand that I probably paid like $400 or $500 for a table. Mm. So you messing up a sale is going to bug me a heck of a lot more than me being at a store signing. Right. Mm-hmm. So like, it's not to be rude. It's not that I don't want to hear from you or talk to you about the craft or learn from you. It's just the right time and right place type of attitude. Right. It's not right. The time more. If you want to ask those questions, you know, better to wait until, you know, you can see me at a smaller venue because I do tons, especially within Florida.
Do you do much of that online? I mean, are there some people who approach you like through Facebook and stuff?
All the time.
Oh, really? Interesting. Of course, you know, you got to be judicious with that time, too, especially if you got a Kickstarter going on and all this stuff. You got to be real careful because some people are they'll keep you busy if you let them.
Yeah, no, literally while we were talking, I reviewed someone's Kickstarter because they wanted some feedback. You know, so I gave them a little bit of feedback. I looked at it earlier today and I just didn't write up the feedback. So I wrote it real quick. Mm-hmm. But yeah, people are asking stuff and I'm happy to give it. I'm happy to help because I don't think I'm making moves. I get surprised at how well respected and how well known I am sometimes, right? When I do a post, like just yesterday I said, hey man, I've read your book. I really, really love it. I think it was great. It's one of my favorite. I can't wait to back the next one. And this guy private messaged me, told me, thank you so much. It means so much because you're such an advocate for the community. you mean so much to me. I've watched your career. You know, I've taken from your Kickstarter and learned a lot. And I was like, oh, I didn't even know you paid attention to me. I just backed your book because, you know, I like it. Much like you, you back tons of stuff. I'm sure you don't know all the creator you backed. And it was really cool to have that relationship and that bond with them and that commitment that they see that I'm going places and they see what I'm doing. It really means a lot, you know. David's – that's why I like hanging out with David Byrne. He really likes to acknowledge, you know, hey, man, like your numbers, you know, because I'm bringing like 270 backers on my Kickstarter. I'm bringing a really big chunk of change when I do a Kickstarter. So it's a lot, and you got to take it seriously when you get to a certain level. You know, you've got to make sure they're taken care of, and that's why I do more and more and making sure my Kickstarters are out. When I say they're going to get there, they get there, all that stuff. So
I have to tell you, I've backed over 500 Kickstarters so far.
All right, let's see where we're at. So I have a 500 number two. Let's see who's higher. Are you ready? I'm going to look right now at mine. I am at right now. Where's my profile? I am at, dun, 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 dun. It is loading slow, so that's not exciting. I am at 514 projects. What are you at?
Let me see if I can call it up super quick. Get my figure up there.
Let's see if I'm doing mine.
It's doing mine not very well either. Let me go view all and see what that tells me. Oh, it wants a password. Thank you very much. don't you realize? Oh, sorry, that's not the correct password. Now, I'm around. Well, I'll tell you what.
I can find out.
I can find out on my phone probably faster than I can on the computer. So let me do that. I'll get that up. Go to where I am. 520.
Oh, you beat me by six.
Yeah, just a couple. Don't worry. I'm sure you'll catch up to me before long.
Yeah. Well, it's great. You know, and even, you know, I was talking about things. One of the things that I want to mention about this project is we got projects we love. I keep forgetting about it. And that's super exciting to get projects we love. I love getting that. You know, I've been getting it the last couple of Kickstarters. I got it for Cthulhu. And Cthulhu, you know, it's a big project. There's a lot of numbers. There's a lot of backers. So that's not as exciting as getting it on one of your projects, right? So I got it on Voodoo and I got it on Expire. And I'm really happy that we got it.
See, the thing is, though, one of the great things about Project We Love is that's they promote that.
Yeah.
So they'll send your stuff out amongst however million or how many thousands that they send their emails out to. And so that's a big help to stuff. By the way, do you remember when your goal is 2,800 for Expire? Do you remember how long it took to get that?
Yeah, it took about 2 days. I think it was like 28 hours or something like that.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. I've always been able to get it within two days, knock on wood, except for Cthulhu Invades Wonderland, but that was a $20,000 goal. So that's going to take a bit.
That's great.
I'm very happy where I'm at. You know, 133 backers right now, $3,638. So very happy where I'm at. I think it's a strong book. Did you get a chance to look at the art that I sent you? I don't know if you got a chance.
I read through the whole book. I read through the first book, and it's really interesting. I was going to tell you that it has a feel to me like a Jeff Lemire kind of feel.
I can definitely see that. Yeah, I do a lot of Jeff. I read a lot of Jeff Lemire stuff, so I definitely can see that. And it's very much like a Jeff Lemire first issue. You've got a lot of information presented to you that you don't really know the answers to, but you're curious about each one of them, and hopefully we pull you into the next issue.
I also buy a lot of Jeff Lemire books. He just came out with Primordial, which I immediately got, and then there's other ones too of his. I actually have one of the books I like the most of his is called Roughneck. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's about a former hockey player who lives up in Canada. Of course, Lemire lives in Canada. And it's all about this guy and his sister suddenly appears. He's lost track of her. She shows up, and there's interesting family things going on. And that's one of the things I like about him. I interviewed him a long time ago, back when he was doing Animal Man. Way back then. And I said to him, I said, a lot of your stuff has to do with family. And I found that really interesting because, you know, even in Animal Man, it had to do with his family, a lot of it. And so even in Roughneck, it's about his family and stuff like that. And so I'm always interested when I read stuff. I'm always curious to see whenever he hits a family theme, I'm always interested to see what he's going to do with that. Because he does, I really enjoy. And the thing that's interesting to me is about his artwork as compared to his writing. You know, his artwork is always kind of craggy, but it has this realistic feel to it that I kind of like. And sometimes I prefer his artwork to having somebody else do it.
Really yeah. He's got a unique style, which I think is awesome. You know, just the way he does things. And I don't think he gets enough credit for all the little things that he's done, you know. He's done also, like, his Moon Knight run was fantastic. I loved it. Not a lot of people read it because they were kind of over the Moon Knight phase. But and then coming up, his Thanos run after Donnie Cates, you know, was really good, you know.
Because he did, you're right, he talked about Moon Knight. And I saw him once at New York Comic Con. And he went to, he had gone over, I think, to Valiant or one of the smaller companies. He was there talking with Matt Kent, and I happened to interrupt the two of them. And I said, well, why are you guys doing that? And they said, we like the freedom, they said. Now, he's gone on to Marvel. Sure. Does a lot of Marvel. And, you know, whenever I talk to people who work at Marvel, they always tell me, well, this is the end of my career. You know, there's nowhere to go after Marvel. And I always say, oh, no. I said, you know, all the people like you are going to lift all the boats. You know, if you go to Image, all the people on Image are going to benefit from you being there. It's not that Marvel's going to help you. It's going to be you're going to actually be a supporter of other people. So I really like his stuff. Have you ever got a chance to talk with him?
I have not. I've never met him in person.
He's a good guy. He's really good. Again, the family business is always a big deal with him. I often see him with his, when I saw him at New York, I saw his family there. He's big friends with Scott Snyder, Batman fame. And if you ever get a chance, you can always approach him. I find him to be really nice about it. I never get to him in time to be able to talk with him on the podcast about projects he's working on, because he moves from project to project. He gets a project done and he's off to something else, and I don't know what it is until it hits. Right. And I follow him and stuff like that, but he always it doesn't happen fast enough for me to jump on board and get a hold of him. But he's a good guy to talk with. You ever get a chance to talk with him for your show?
Yeah, I'll definitely do so. I didn't pick up Primordial today, and I'm regretting because it on the internet they are like blowing up how great that book is. I'm not a big fan of Planet of the Apes, and that's what I thought it was. And everyone's like, "Oh no, no, it's not."
No. That's the thing about him. He always takes a different tack when he's doing the storytelling, and I always like that. That's the thing I like about it. Like, he's got that one on the Comixology. The snow one, Snow Angel or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I haven't read it, but I've heard about it.
It's fascinating. There's a family. It starts out with a father and two children, and they're stuck in like a it's hard to describe. They're in like a crevice, and they're supposed to always stay there according to the way that they've been taught.
Right.
And of course, they can't do that in real life. And so something happens and they have to, things go awry. And there's people who are after the people in the crevice and stuff like that. And it's not the word that he uses. It's a different word. But I would recommend that. Again, there's that family thing going on. And it's really just fascinating stuff. I always like his ability to tell really interesting and dramatic stories, because, you know, comics tend to be, like, as you talked in yours, was action oriented.
Right.
And when he does it, it's much more, there's often discussion, but it's not dull. I mean, there's some writers who are very dull, but he's not. He does drama really well.
Yeah. I think Expired is kind of the best of both worlds for me. Mm-hmm. So, when you read Broke Down, you know, I'm very quick on the dialogue, you know, I'm very dialogue heavy, you know, my wit is on like its highest bar, because I want to be sassy. I want to be Quentin Tarantino-esque and like very silver tongue, where Voodoo Nations, it's a more personal story. So it's a little bit hushed, where Expired is kind of a little bit of both, right? I can tell this epic world building thing that I'm doing with Expired, but allow, because I have my main character is kind of a con man, ex-spy. He's got some of that sassy wit. He's got he's kind of a cross between Gambit and I can't think of his name. Oh my gosh. It's the old guy who's the famous old guy right now. I can't even think of his name.
In X-Men?
No. In real life. So,
oh, famous old guy.
What is it? I'm sorry. Yeah, famous old guy doesn't help you, right?
No, I'm sorry.
He's always a cowboy in everything he does.
Clint Eastwood?
No, he's younger, more modern than that. I'm trying to think of the name of the show, right? The Ranch. He's on The Ranch.
Oh, you mean Kevin Costner?
No, not Kevin Costner. You're thinking about Yellowstone.
Yellowstone, yeah.
Sam Elliott.
Sam Elliott, yeah.
Yeah, and that's why he kind of looks like Sam Elliott. So he's a cross between Gambit and Sam Elliott, you know?
Okay,
like,
very good.
Like a Gambit Sam Elliott. So I've kind of built his size. So he's got all the, like, charm, because Sam Elliott's not really much of a charmer. He's more of a sassy guy. But he's got all the charm of Gambit, but all the, you know, swagger of a Sam Elliott.
Have you ever been approached to turning your projects into, say, like animated or a TV show or something like that?
Nothing of note. The negative is I have a film degree, so I tend to look at things on a very negative, because I've been trained to look at them as a negative, to, you know, look at whether or not this is going to happen. So I have been asked by, like, small independent companies, but nobody of, like, higher caliber. But like I said, a couple of my comics right now are in talks with publishers, and I think all of my stuff, I do, one of the things that I do write for is it's very, very easy to flip into a movie. Broke down, you don't need anything but cars and people, you know, cars, people, and guns, you know, no big deal. Say Voodoo Nation's very, very little supernatural stuff. There is supernatural stuff, but not anything that's going to break your CGI budget, you know?
Okay, so more dramatic than science fiction.
Correct. Expired is probably the biggest, because, you know, I did a lot of world building. You know, each island has their thing. We've got a couple of new races that come out, you know, and we mention a couple of them in the book. We talk about water mages, water mancers, you know, which are kind of a cool race that we're going to interact with. There's a lot of really cool things that we're going to do in Expired. And I get to play in that sci-fi genre. You know, it's I consider this a cross between Serenity and the first Star Wars, kind of not 4 through 6, but like literally the original trilogy, the prequel,
because it's the good ones.
Right. Well, no, the early ones, not the good ones. But it's got all the politics of it, right? They've got a lot of politics going through it, and a lot of sci-fi, you know, explanation of what's going on in the world. There's still better movies than 6, 7, and 8. So, or 7, 8, 9. So,
right. That's right. Okay, that's good. So that's good stuff. Yeah, I hope someday somebody does that, because I think that your writing would translate really easily and really well to, if not animated, then to live action. I really would like to see that. So, okay, let's wrap up here and make sure that we get it's Expired, issue 1, sci-fi fantasy action comic. You've already met your $2,800 goal, and right now you're gathering good backers and moving beyond all that. It's going to be funding on Tuesday, September 28 at 9:42 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So now is the time to jump on. Don't wait to get on there before that date. It's too many people wait until the last minute and try to leap on, and then they miss it for some reason. Don't do that. Get on there and support it now, because this is one of those great books I think it's going to be fun to have, and I'm going to really enjoy seeing in local shops and stuff like that.
And one of the things that I will tell you, because it's not a Travis Foley project, so I print enough that you'll be always able to get my books at a con. I can't guarantee how many we're going to print yet. You know, I do know we're going to print, you know, a decent amount, but I print in the thousands. This may be printed in the 500s. So, you know, that's a huge different gap. And I do a lot of cons and a lot of shows, and I have a lot of stores support me. So you may try to get this later, and you may have to wait until we do a reprint for issue 2. So, you know, if you want to get it now, it's not like my normal project where they're always going to be available.
Okay. You know, I haven't backed it yet. Let me do that right now. Let me get the...
I see that soldier. You're like, whoa, I don't want to miss out.
Yeah, I better get in there and back this. I'm going to get a digital deluxe one because I think, yeah. Oh, darn, it wants my password. All right, I'll have to do it on my phone. My phone remembers my password. I don't. So I'll get that in there. I'll get and do that. So it's gone. But again, it's expired, and I highly recommend it. As always with Travis, your stuff is always worth it. I see your name someplace, I buy it. Because I bought that Voodoo Nation Kingdom
you buy
Comics.
You always buy it, the digital on the Kickstarter, and you always buy it again when you see me in person because you need the physical.
Yeah, well, there's something good when you do it in person, there's something a little extra involved right. To do it that way. So I like that. Mm-hmm. So Travis, again, when this comes out on Sunday, Travis will be at Daytona Beach Comic Con. Do you remember where it's at? Because I think the location is different this year.
Yeah, it's in the Volusia Fairgrounds, so it's okay. A little bit below Daytona, so it's not quite in Daytona. So that's in Volusia Fairgrounds is in DeLand, but it's a big. From what I understand, it's a big facilities in the small press. I'll be in the small press room, so there's two rooms. There's the main hall, and then there's a small press room, and I'll be in the small press room. But don't consider it small press because I'll be with Richard over at Scout. In that area with them and Silver Line, you know, most of us are going to be in that other room. If you're looking for independent comics, you'll be in that room.
Okay. Well, I highly recommend it. It's always fun to talk with you. And I would highly say that this is a place to go, especially if you're in the area, to go and do it. Okay. I just got it back on my phone. So I'm finally on there where we need to be. So, again, it's called Expired. Be sure to look it up and back it up. And, Travis, always a pleasure to talk with you, and much success as you go forward.
I appreciate you. Thank you. Thanks a lot, man.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, from flesh and blood, I can be ignored. I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
And that's it for this episode. Be back next time. I'll have another great interview with an excellent comics creator, something I'm sure you won't want to miss. But until then, keep reading your comics.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.